This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. So grateful to God for giving us this time together Monday through Friday right here on Catholic Radio, where we have the opportunity to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. We encourage you all of the time to keep your radio, your phone, your computer, however it is that you receive us, tuned up to EWTN Radio, because, you know, I'll tell you what, we can never, never, never exhaust the blessings of the Lord, and we want to be open to every single one of them. I'm sure you do. I know I do. I tell him that all of the time. Don't let me miss one blessing, no matter if it's in joy or in sorrow. I want to receive everything that's immediately available to me. Why? Because God wants for us to receive his blessings. He wants for us to know that he is God with us. He wants for us to understand that we are always in his gaze. You know, I'm fascinated when I think about the gaze of the Lord. I'm fascinated by that beautiful fourth station of the cross where Jesus meets his mother on the way to Calvary. I'm fascinated by what must have taken place as Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross and looked up at her son, and he looked down on her. You know, this morning, interestingly enough, I was praying the Sorrowful Mysteries, because it is Friday after all. And, you know, I was meditating on our Lord carrying his cross. And usually I'm very much riveted on that moment when Jesus encounters his mother. That is kind of like my to-go moment when I am praying that mystery. And I just want to be held, you know, in the midst of that gaze of our Lord's for his mother, and our Blessed Lady for her son. But, you know, I was drawn to a portion of that walk of our Lord's, that climb of our Lord's, that I don't generally, you know, meditate on or contemplate in a holy way, just being open to the grace of it. And I was really riveted and drawn to, you know, St. Simon of Cyrene helping our Lord carry his cross. And, you know, I was thinking about that. Now, we hear different kinds of speculative, I think, concepts or ideas relating to that. You know, was he pressed into service? Did he enter into service willingly? Was there hesitation? And if there was real hesitation, was it because he understood what was going on and didn't feel himself worthy? I really don't know. But what I do know is that he helped our Lord carry his cross. And I was thinking about several things there. I was thinking about the fact that we all need help, right? We all need help from time to time. And here is Jesus. And in his divinity, he's omnipotent. In his divinity, he is all powerful. We know that you know, obviously he was a composite, true God and true man. So he could have, in some way, invoked that omnipotence to bear the weight of that cross. But he let Simon of Cyrene help him. And I thought about that, you know, I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking about the fact that they must have exchanged glances. They must have exchanged looks. There must have been some very long looks that took place between the two. Searching looks. You know, our Lord searching in the eyes of St. Simon of Cyrene, the very depths of his soul. And St. Simon of Cyrene looking back at our Lord, you know, contemplating the majesty of God before him. And I was thinking about the fact that we treasure relics of the true cross, but there was Simon of Cyrene, and he was helping our Lord carry the cross. Jesus had not yet been pinned to it, but nonetheless, it was still the cross on Jesus, as Jesus would be on his cross. And Jesus was bloodied and he was scourged, and surely his most sacred blood was being absorbed into the wood of the cross. And Simon is carrying that very instrument of torture that would win our salvation by way of Jesus' acquiescence to the Father's will, to die upon that instrument of torture for you and for me. And, you know, I was really captivated by it, by the reality of it, and thinking about how graced we are to be able to enter into those divine and holy mysteries by way of the gift of our baptism and really the maternal beatitude of our mother that wants to take us into the mysteries of her son's life, that we might be more open to all that he desires for us to receive. And then, of course, I was praying that rosary for all of my friends and family and co-workers that live in the state of Florida. And through the grace of God, and I'm rejoicing because all of them came through this time pretty much unscathed. None of them experienced flooding or any of that. But I have friends I know who have, whose homes were flooded, who I have a friend and her husband who are out of town right now. He on a business trip and she accompanying him. And Jack and I had dinner with them because they were in Birmingham over the course of the weekend. And I heard from her this morning, and she's heard from her neighbor. She is on the Gulf, and her neighbors across the street have 2 feet of water in the home. The street is like a canal. They've lost their vehicles. She's anticipating worse devastation in their home since they back up, a portion of their home backs up to the Gulf. So many people there in the Big Bend area of Florida. And, you know, I'm familiar with that. I'm familiar with Route 19 because that's the way when I drive home, we go. And so I know that area. And numbers of times I've driven through there, Jack and I have driven through there, and we've seen the aftermath of the storms that have come through there. And this is like their third big hit in a short period of time. And we know that so many. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe the Lord had me drawn to that mystery for two reasons. One, because, you know, we need to help individuals who are struggling right now. In the aftermath of this, we need to help them in every way that we can, you know, possibly by being there to aid them if we have the wherewithal to be able to do such a thing, or, you know, through financial assistance, most definitely by our prayers and our, you know, interior support of them, you know, offering up rosaries for them, offering up the holy sacrifice of the Mass for them, remembering them in our prayers today. So many of these individuals experiencing losses they never thought. And then I thought, and yet, you know, to be a Simon of Cyrene to them also means that we get the pleasure of carrying their suffering in some way. And that's a holy action when it's united to the cross of our Lord. So more to come on the other side of the break here. I'm eager to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. More ways you can reach us. I'll tell you about those when we come back from the break. You should know them by now if you listen regularly. God bless you. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you on this Friday. Let me give you the numbers that you can use to join us live here today, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Inviting you to use that number and join us today. If you're a first-time caller, I certainly do want to know about it, and I will ring my welcome bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Also want to let you know that we are available for you out there in at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. Use the chat feature there. Michael McCall will retrieve your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement and get it up on the board, and I'll be able to address it. Matthew Gubensky answering those phones, as he does generally Monday through Friday. He wants to know your name and how it is that you're listening to us and what your question is. He'll put you up there. Our phone lines are lighting up already, and that makes me very happy today. 833-288-3986. You can also text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. We're going to go to Ray in just 1 second, but I just want to finish up that meditation. So I said that there were, you know, two thoughts that I had in relation to, you know, Simon of Cyrene being there to help others in their time of distress. I was tying this into the devastation that's taken place in the state of Florida right now, especially on that West Coast. Pinellas County, is the county where I spent 40 some years of my life, all the way up the coast there, and then into the Big Bend area where they have experienced so much devastation, and then ripping through and now going up through the Carolinas. It's important to be present to people in their distress, whether it comes by way of weather or tragedies in other forms, or simply when they're going through a difficult moment in their spiritual life or in their relational life with other people. It's important that we be there to be Jesus to them. But it's also important when we are going through distress to be Jesus as well, to receive the help that others want to give us. You know, as I said to you earlier, Jesus, being true God and true man, one of the characteristics of God, attributes of God, is his omnipotence. Jesus probably, even in the beleaguered state of his humanity, no question, through his divinity, could have managed that cross. But he permitted Simon of Cyrene to help him carry it. And that was a blessing for Simon of Cyrene. And when we permit others to exhibit charity, love for us in our times of need, we too are permitting them to grow in relationship with God, who is love. We are being Jesus, both when we help and when we receive. So all of that, just some things for you to think about today. I have a feeling that some of you, are in a state of need right now, but you resist help. Whether that's out of pride or a sense of I can do it on my own or I don't want to trouble people, whatever the reason is, let them. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, never deprive someone of the opportunity to show you charity. Don't deprive them of that opportunity for virtue. It's a beautiful thing to think about. Okay, Ray's with us, and I'm glad because Ray called in yesterday and I couldn't get to Ray. So I asked Ray to call back today, and Ray has. And Ray is in Texas listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. So Ray, tell us, talk with us. What's going on with you?
Well, yesterday I was listening to the show, and I heard this woman, and she was talking about her soul and worried about her soul and what was going to happen after she died. And I thought I would interject something to her that I think would help. I was killed back in 1969. Immediately when I was killed, I came out of my body, and I went up about 75 or 100 feet in the air. And I was looking down at everything that was going on and everybody that was there and what was happening to me at the time. And I felt this very warm sense in my back, and I turned around, and there was the whitest, brightest light that I've ever seen before, and I was transmitted out of there, and the next thing I remember is I was in this area with five people in a table, and I can't say I was standing there or I was sitting there. It was like almost like a ghostly area, you know. It was like cloudy, and they were talking to me, but we're not talking like you and I are talking now. If I thought of something, they knew what I was thinking, and when they would think of something, I knew exactly what they were saying. And basically it boiled down to, they said, we're not ready for you yet, Ray, and we're going to give you a choice. You can either stay here with us or you can go back. And immediately I started thinking of my children growing up with no father. And the next thing that I remember was I was opened my eyes and I was looking at an EMS person that was hovering over me. And they had gotten me up, and everybody was kind of like, I can't say in a quiet mood. They were like kind of strange talking to me. And they took me home, and about 3 days later, the people that I were with said, you know, you were dead. They covered you up. We don't understand how you came back, but you were dead. And I just thought I would interject that to that lady that, you know, we don't sit inside that coffin and moat until Jesus comes back. We are going to go somewhere. And this is to everybody that ever has any thoughts about what's going to happen when you die. We are going somewhere. And we are going to be going in front of somebody to be judged. And we can all look forward to that. And I just thought I would interject that here to maybe help those that are wondering what happens when we die.
Well, Ray, you know, thank you very, very much. You know, Sue Brinkman has mentioned on the air that she is fascinated by these near-death and death experiences when people, you know, are brought back to life. And much of what you shared in your own experience is what others say, right? What was unusual, though, is that most typically people do not talk about a sense of realization that there is going to be that moment of judgment, right? And you experienced that. And something else I think that's very interesting about what you said here, you know, that I think kind of lends itself to the fact that this truly did happen, is the fact that you said there was communication, but it wasn't communication like you and I are communicating through the apparatus, if you will, the instrument of our body. Because obviously, when the soul leaves the body, there is no body. So there are no vocal cords. There are no lungs. You know, there's no tongue. There are no lips. So that communication that takes place in the spiritual world, and we know this from angels, and it's also true of the fallen angels, the demons, that is a type of telepathic communication. And we do have instances of that where we can experience a sense of what that's like. Sometimes in our time of prayer, we'll get an intimation of the heart. I know that in some of the, more contemplative aspects of prayer, true contemplative prayer here, not reasoning, you know, or choir contemplation, but when it's God communicating to the soul or a heart of a person, he does that without the use of words. There's like an infused sense of knowledge with regard to that. And they'll suddenly understand beyond understanding. They'll see beyond seeing. They'll hear beyond hearing. And, you know, the great spiritual masters, I'm thinking of Father Thomas Dubé, for example, Father Reginald Gergut Lagrange. I'm thinking of Teresa of Avila. I'm thinking of John of the Cross. I'm thinking of all these people who, know personally, what this is like, and I don't know about Lagrange and Dubé, but I suspect it, will say precisely that. And they will say that this is the most reliable way that we can believe what it is, you know, that the least reliable is audible, that we hear with our ears. So it's just very fascinating. Of course, we submit all of those kinds of moments to our spiritual director for their prayerful discernment, so lest we be tricked, lest we be giving way to a counterfeit, which we know the evil one can counterfeit. He cannot read our thoughts, but he can insinuate thoughts into our minds and hearts. So we always want to take moments like that to our spiritual director. But the fact that that was something that you experienced, where it was a hearing without hearing, indicates that something very supernatural took place there. And obviously, the fact that your body had expired was verified. The other interesting thing, too, that lends itself to part of our discussion yesterday was the fact that we don't really know when the soul leaves the body. And so it could have been that, you know, your soul actually left the body and then came back to the body. But it could have been also, too, that there is this, you know, that the soul didn't leave the body. The body might have expired, but the soul actually didn't leave it. But there was an experience of this spiritual that you were receiving, and this capacity to even see what the state was of your body. You say that you could see it there. That also is something that we don't quite understand, because, you know, there can be kind of like flights of the spirit, so to speak, and many of the saints experienced that, flights of the spirit, types of bilocation and things of that nature, or where they were spiritually present, even though their bodies were still in a certain location. So that being said, you know, and of course their soul was still attached to their bodies, but God had moved them. He's capable of all of these things. But thank you so very much. And I think that you give us good instruction today to realize that, yes, there is going to be a particular judgment. We are going to be sitting there before the throne of God, however that throne is. The other thing I want to say too, Ray, about these, you know, these spiritual experiences that I was talking about, like these moments, how that often happens through the working of the Holy Spirit is that He will use images, etc., that are part of our collected imagination, their recollections, maybe even, you know, thoughts that we've had about the way something will be. So that, you know, that business of there were like five people around a table could have been something that He used from a past memory or something to communicate a truth to you. And I think that the truth that He was communicating to you, obviously, one, God's love for you, obviously, two, this idea that there is a moment of judgment. And I'm sure you've been living in the light of that all of these intervening years. 1969 was quite some time ago. So all of these intervening years, I'm sure that the light of that knowledge has kept you on that straight and narrow path that leads to life on high in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you so much for sharing. A fascinating story. I'm sorry Sue wasn't here, because she has a particular interest in these kinds of stories. I'll have to tell her about it, and she can listen to the show, because the show is available to your friends on EWTN's app, on demand, and also we have it archived at Women of Grace. Ray, thank you so much, and I really appreciate your act of charity in wanting that woman to have some peace of heart. So thank you for that, Ray. Very, very generous of you. Thank you very, very much. Simon of Cyrene of you. To keep our theme a little alive here. God bless you, Ray. Thank you so much. Friends, we're going to go to Monique. Monique is in Idaho. Excuse me today. I am eager to hear what we're going to hear here. I'm looking to see. Salt and Light Radio is the way that Monique is with us. We invite you to call us 2-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. We invite you to pick up your phone and give us a call today. Also inviting you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel option. You can get right on out there and use the chat feature. I am not on Skype today, so you're not going to see me there, but I'm still there. You can hear my voice. So we invite you to use that option. Also invite you to text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your name and how it is that you're listening to us, and whatever your question or comment might be. Message and data rates may apply. Okay, out here we are on the air with Monique. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's my first time.
Oh, well, goodness sakes, let me ring that bell for you. Welcome, Monique.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My struggle is with having a baby, and my husband and I have been trying for a while, and I struggle with this, with praying about it to God, and we've prayed a lot, and we've done fertility treatments, of course, but, I feel like every time it doesn't happen, I get discouraged. Mm-hmm. And also I'm like, is it ever going to happen? I'm already like in my early 40s, and I don't know. I fear like I'm going to get menopause early, and then like it won't happen ever. So we're trying to have a natural, our own, you know, biological child. I know we can adopt, and but I also have struggles with that idea. So I don't know. We talk about it all the time, my husband and I, and I don't know what to do. Will God grant us a child? I hope he does one day.
Excuse me. Monique, this is a cross. There's no question about it. I know numbers of couples who have been unable to conceive a child. It's a cross, especially when your heart longs so much to hold your child in your arms, and it seems as though that is never going to happen. I have some things to share with you, and I'm asking that you'll hold. You hear that music, so we have to go to a break. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And I would encourage any of you who have gone through this crisis that Monique and her husband are experiencing, if you have some words for her, call in today. Let's join together here to bring some comfort to our sister in Christ. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Looking forward to hearing from you on the other side of the break. Stay with us today.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so happy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you here. If you're a first-time caller, you know we want to know, because I like to ring my bell to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. The number for you to use, toll-free for you in North America, is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Available for you as well out there in social media land. Just go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and use the chat feature. We're going to get that question or comment retrieved. Michael McCall is going to be doing the retrieving. He's going to get it up on the board for me. We do have Matt Gabinski answering the phones today, so be sure to give him a howdy hey when you call in. In addition to all of that, we want you to know that you can text your question or comment to us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment. Keep it a little short. Also include where you're calling from, you know, how it is that you're listening. And know that message and data rates may apply for that option. So all that being said, we are abundantly available to you today, abundantly available to you Monday through Friday. Also available to you if you're outside of North America. Just use this number if you are, country code 1-205-271-2985. Do want to remind you about some of the things coming up at Women of Grace. We have our Benedicta Institute Fall 2024 week-long immersive at St. Bernard's Abbey in Coleman, Alabama. It's coming up October the 14th, and I am eager for you to join us for this. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I was sharing with you yesterday that we have options for you. If you say, oh, I just don't know if I can swing it right now financially, we'll help you swing it financially. So just get out there to our website, look at it. If you can come, we can accommodate you. So please, please do consider it. It's a wonderful opportunity for you. You won't regret it. You can actually earn a certification in Catholic Women's Leadership, or you can do it for spiritual enrichment. The course that we're offering this time, The Dignity of Dust, Contemplating Our Humanity, Fundamental to a Deeper Understanding and Appreciation vision of who we are as the daughters of the Most High God. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be leading the study. I'm going to be there. I'll be a student with you. We'll be sitting right next to each other, you know, going together through this beautiful, beautiful walk into a deeper understanding of who we are as human persons and who we are specifically as the feminine human person. Yay, I can't wait. Looking forward to it ever so very, very much. Do want to also mention to you that we want for you to support your affiliates. Yes, we do. And I'm always encouraging you to do that. We've got some special opportunities for you coming up. If you are in Iowa, your station needs to hear from you next week. Iowa Catholic Radio will air their fall fundraiser starting Tuesday on all of their 8 stations. So, I don't know where you're listening to us if you're in Iowa, but you might be in Des Moines, you could be in Fairfield, you could be in Oskaloosa, or you could be anywhere, but do this, support your Catholic radio station. Next week's a big week for Iowa Catholic Radio, and we want for you to chime in there. I know they'll be thrilled to death to hear from you. So that's all next week. We have Monique on the line. Our phone lines are lighting up beautifully, and I'm so grateful. Monique and her husband very much want to have children, and they've been trying for quite some time. And Monique is in her early 40s, just over the crest of 40, and she's not been able to conceive. They've tried numbers of things and nothing has been successful. And she's wondering if this is ever going to happen. And she's feeling discouraged. Monique, I want to share with you, sweetheart, that this is a cross. And you know that because you're feeling the weight of it. And you're also feeling the passage of time. We know that as women, you know, our years of fertility are fleeting, that we have so many years when we can conceive a child. And then after that, we cannot. And I'm afraid that so many women today, you know, are more interested in a career in their most fertile period of time, which is in their 20s, and they postpone it. I'm not saying that this is your case, but so many then when they try, find that they cannot conceive, especially if they've used birth control pills. It actually shuts down their capacity to be able to have children, and it really compromises it greatly. Some of them, by the time they decide they want to have children, have been on birth control pills for, you know, 20 years or more. But here you are, and this is a cross, and there's no way to make light of it. I want to recommend to you a beautiful, beautiful ministry outreach. And I had the opportunity to interview Kimberly Henkel, who is one of the founders of this. And it is called Springs in the Desert of Infertility. Springs in the Desert of Infertility. They have a website. I'm going to give you the website address, springsinthedesertofinfertility.org. I had the pleasure, as I said, of interviewing Kimberly Henkel. She's a PhD. She understands this struggle herself personally. We did 2 shows together, and they're available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. You can go out there and go to TV in the nav bar, and then in the search feature, just put in Springs in the Desert of Infertility, and it will come up for you. And I think that you will find there marvelous ways to be able to appropriate the discouragement that you're feeling. And you're going to meet other women there who understand it because they've experienced it. Some of whom have experienced it and then conceived, and others who have not conceived and have chosen adoption. And some who have found an outlet for their desire to express that deep, deep maternal instinct that is theirs. And I want to affirm you in that. I want to affirm that your desire to have children is a holy desire. Sometimes our bodies don't cooperate. We know that God can change that in the blink of an eye, but sometimes this is the portion of his cross that he desires we carry. And so this is what I would suggest to you in light of that. We don't know. You might conceive tomorrow. You know, you could conceive tonight. We don't know. But for as long as this burden, as long as this cross has been entrusted to you, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Take the suffering that you feel in your heart, the longing that you feel in your heart, the frustration of not having that longing met, and do something with it. You know, offer it up for the sake of the children whose mothers will kill them in their womb. You know, offer it up for other women like yourself who are struggling in this journey. Ask God to show you how, even in this period of time, you can take that desire from eternity and have it released in you through a spiritual maternity to others, whether that be through the direct interaction with children, whether it be through this being an auntie to perhaps nieces and nephews in a more intentional way, whether it be through the maternal love that so many adult women need and were starved of. You are a mother. Every woman is called to be mother, whether that is expressed through a physical reality, a biological capacity, or whether it isn't. You know, I think of all of the beautiful religious sisters who have many spiritual children, but no biological children. Does that mean that they're any less mother? No. Motherhood is the defining characteristic of who we are as feminine women, whether it's ever expressed biologically or not. We're called to a spiritual maternity, even if we are biological mothers, to raise those children unto the glory and honor of God. But it's no question, and I'm not making light of your situation, it's a deep pain. I would encourage you to follow the directives of the church. There's much that can be done. You say that you've tried fertility options. No need to get into what all of those might be. Some of those in line with church teaching, some of them not. I would also steer you to the work of Dr. Thomas Hilders. And I would steer you to NAPRO Technologies. I don't know if you've looked that up, but it's a way in which a woman can determine when she is most fertile and take advantage of that opportunity. And there's beautiful ways to be able to track that biologically. So NAPRO technology is there. And then, as I mentioned to you, Springs in the Desert of Infertility, a beautiful website, springsinthedesert.org, and those two shows, I think can help you to find the companionship that you might be longing for. So, you know, I just want to share that with you. And our heart is lit up here with women that are calling in to offer you support right now. So keep listening, Monique. Keep listening. We're going to go to Mary. She's a first-time caller in Washington, D.C. today, and I'm ringing my bell for you, Mary. And I'm very grateful that you're calling in. So share your story with us.
Thank you so much. My heart goes out so much to this caller and others in the situation. I was extremely low fertility, and I have never prayed so hard in all my life for a child. I just craved having children. And the Lord answered my prayer in a very unusual way. I'm a pretty private person, so I have no problem talking to the millions anonymously. But someone in my circle, I kept it to myself. And I would hear about people who were pregnant, and I'd be happy for them, and the other part of me was crying.
Yes.
So I went to a Jewish bris, and there was a woman who was a stranger. She happened to be a doctor. And I was pouring my heart out to her about how much I desired a child. And she said, and I'm going to just say, I am not a pharmaceutical salesperson. She said, why don't you go to your doctor and ask if you would be a good candidate for Clomid, C-L-O-M-I-D. And it worked. It might have taken three cycles to work, but it worked. I used it for both my sons. And it's also been on the market, and I'm not a pharmaceutical salesperson. It's been on the market for like 40 years. You could look it up. Super safe. And I don't want to keep this under my hat. It's worth a try. It's probably a dollar. Because, it's probably a dollar now, so cheap. And I asked, I went to my OBGYN, I asked if I was a good candidate, and he said yes. And I have shared this with three couples who have been able to conceive.
Oh, Mary, how wonderful.
Yes, I just want to encourage her, and I will absolutely be praying for her and every woman. And thank you for inviting us to call. I've never called you before, but when I heard the invitation, I'm like, I have got to call.
Well, Mary, I'll tell you what, I am just so glad that you did. You know, I don't know this cross, so in this sense, I can sympathize, but I can't empathize because I've not carried that cross. But you have, and you understand. And, you know, isn't it interesting that, you know, the Lord placed on my heart this morning in prayer when I was praying that fourth mystery, Simon of Cyrene, and because you are a Simon of Cyrene to Monique today, and we have others here with us that have, you know, words of encouragement to share with her. And I love when this happens on the show. I mean, I live for this because here we are, the mystical body of Christ, there to be of assistance and love when people are going through such dire straits and such disappointments in life. And you certainly have been that today. And I am just so grateful to you. Thank you. So it's Clomid, CLOMID. So Monique, I know you're still listening. If you haven't tried that, look at the success. Mary's carried two children and three of her friends have been able to conceive by way of this particular medication. So if you haven't tried it, honey, you know, check with your OBGYN and see if this is something for you. In the meantime, springsinthedesert.org is a good place for you to go. And if you wanted to find out more about NAPRO technology, you can find a NAPRO technology practitioner in your very area by going to fertilitycare.org, all one word, fertilitycare.org will help you to find a NAPRO technology practitioner in your area. Again, thank you so very much, Mary. And we're going to go to Kathy. Kathy is in Minneapolis, Minnesota today, listening to us via iHeartRadio. And I don't know if you're a first-time caller or not, Kathy, but I'm still ringing your the bell for you today. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm good, thank you.
Okay, yeah, I just, when this previous caller talked about Clomid, I remembered that I had done that as well when I was working with my infertility doctor. And also, I was going to say something about natural NFP, natural family planning.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of teach you how to, look at your cycles and be able to determine, you know, your best fertility. I would also, you know, I remember just working with my chiropractor, who, you know, nutritionist type of person, and just got off all sugar. You know, I did everything that I could possibly think of to conceive. But I remember working with my chiropractor, I did NFP, I worked with my infertility doctor, and I prayed a lot, and my husband and I had to get counseling for a while because it does create this, you know, a level of frustration, in with your spouse.
Yes.
And they're going to travel, and you're supposed to be, you know, in your most fertile time of the month, and they have to travel for work, and, you just get mad, you know, it just causes tension. And so at one point, I think we had to get some, you know, some counseling, but it all worked out. Got four kids, so.
Four children.
It's just so hard. And I just want to tell this caller, just keep praying and just, you don't fail. You know, there was a little thing in my doctor's office on the wall. It said, you know, you only fail if you give up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just keep going and just trust, you know.
Yes.
Trust God. Like, and those other resources. I wish I would have had that Springs in the Desert thing when I was going through it, because I really didn't even have other women to talk to.
Yeah.
So it's very isolating.
Yes. But, well, it's interesting, Kathy, because what you're mentioning, Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I can't hear you very well, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say it's interesting because you're pointing out something that Mary also pointed out, and that was that, you know, you feel very isolated and you feel very alone in this, and you really don't even want to talk about it because sometimes you feel as though there's something the matter with me. You know, I'm failing at this, you know, and that isn't the case. You know, sometimes our bodies cooperate in beautiful ways, and sometimes our bodies don't cooperate in ways that we would like the body to cooperate. But with this I do know, God has a plan. He has a plan for all of us. And I know that, you know, so many of the women who are involved in Women of Grace, you know, through the gift of spiritual maternity, have experienced just a profound, you know, opening of heart and mind and soul. And many of these women have children, but some of them do not. And for those who have been unable to conceive, it is also a way for them to experience that profound grace that comes by way of a spiritual maternity. And I'm grateful to God that you were able to conceive these four children. What a wonderful thing. And I like what that little plaque says, you know, the only way we fail is if we give up. And that's true in everything, even the spiritual life, you know, it's true in everything. We just keep being faithful to what God is calling us to be faithful to. And certainly within marriage, I mean, that is to the celebration of our sacrament, you know, we're called to be faithful to the celebration of that sacrament, which is the conjugal love expressed between a husband and a wife. And sometimes when we give ourselves permission to just relax in that reality, instead of trying to make that reality always productive, you know, we also relax enough for great things to happen. So thank you, Kathy. I appreciate your call so very much and for being such a good, again, beautiful sister in Christ to Monique today and to all of the women who are listening that this applies to, but haven't called in to ask for prayer for it or for, you know, some encouragement. Thank you so, so very much. Let's go to Lorraine. Lorraine is a first-time caller, and she is in New Jersey. Lorraine, share with us, if you will.
Hi, Johnette.
Hi.
I love the show, especially Never Miss Wednesday with Sue.
Thank you.
I'd like to just reach out to Monique. I hope she's still listening. Been there, done that, 8.5 years waited. I need to tell her and all the women who are struggling, couples with infertility, I beg you, go online, Google Regina Pachis Basilica. It's on 65th Street in Brooklyn, New York. Long story, you could read about it online. There is, in the old baptistry, this is about a 100-year-old church. It's magnificent. I've brought people there who've been to Italy, walked into the church and cried because it's just, they call it like a mini Sistine Chapel. Anyway, in the old baptistry, there is Mary, mother of the unborn. She was commissioned by the priests of the diocese in 1988 as mother of priests and mother of the unborn, you know, against abortion. Mm-hmm. In the intervening decades, there are thousands upon thousands. I think about 10 years ago, there were 9,000 babies that were born as a result of people going to pray. One story that the priest had told me, in particular, a father and mother prayed in Italy, no children. The woman conceived. The father didn't even see the baby, got on a plane, flew from Italy to Brooklyn, New York, gave thanks, got back on the plane, and went back to his wife and his baby. And Monique, I myself, my husband and I went there every week. I finally got pregnant. Many, many prayers to St. Jude and to Mother of the Unborn and also St. Anne. I didn't know about St. Gerard at that point, but my mother always told me, pray to St. Anne and St. Jude. And it was a Jewish woman, hearkening back to the caller a couple of minutes ago, who told me about St. Jude.
Wow. And Lorraine, we're going to have to leave the beautiful story there, but I want to repeat the name of the basilica for you, Monique. It's Regina Pachis, P-A-C-E-S. Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A, Pachis, P-A-C-E-S, Basilica in New York. the Shrine of Our Lady, Mother of the Unborn. So there is another source of help and aid for you. And I thank you so much, Lorraine, for your call and for your good news and for sharing about this beautiful place. If I ever get that way, I'm going to go there. Lorraine was calling us from Domestic Church Media Radio in New Jersey, and I'm going to be there October 27th, hoping to be with all of you. We're going to be back again tomorrow. God bless you now. Thank you.